Jesus, the King, and he's there on the cross. There is such a contrast between the expectations of the leaders, the soldiers, the other criminals, who just can't believe. If you are the Christ, if you are the Messiah, if you are the Anointed One, save yourself. But that's not what Jesus is about. He's wanting to bring salvation. He's wanting to bring life. He's wanting to invite to paradise all who believe in him, all of us. That's his purpose. That's his reason, to come into relationship with us, to allow us to experience that freedom that only happens when we know God and are known by God. But I want to focus on the last word of the gospel tonight. The last phrase is Jesus promising to this, we call him the good, lest the good thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, when I was a kid, I kind of just presumed that that meant that he would be with Jesus in heaven. But I couldn't quite work out how that all happened, because, you know, it's today on Good Friday, and I'm like, well, surely it couldn't have happened until at least on Sunday, when Jesus was raised to new life. And then you've got all of the other moments throughout the history of the Ascension and then of the Pentecost, and trying to fit all these different things in. So I guess the first question that we need to ask is, well, when is paradise? The second question is where? But first, the question of when. When does paradise happen? This word paradise, we really just take the Greek letters paradisos and transliterate them into English. And in turn, that Greek word paradisos is simply borrowed not from the Persian language, where it means pardes, where it means garden. So whether it's paradise, paradisos, or pardes, or in the Hebrew it's the word gan, all of them simply point to this reality of garden. And we can kind of make that out. We can understand that. You know, if you go on a holiday to a tropical island, you might say, yes, I went to paradise. Or you might go to a tropical rainforest and think, yes, I went to an experience of paradise. So when we look at the scriptures, Jesus says that today you will be within paradise. So the first place that when occurs is today. So a little bit later on today, you will be with me in paradise. But the first place that we encounter a garden, a paradise, is of course in Genesis 2, where we're told that the Lord God planted a garden in the east, in the land of Eden. And so way back in the past, at the very beginning of creation, in the book that begins in the beginning, we have the first instance of the garden, the first instance of paradise. So we have now, or we have a little bit into the future, and we have some place way back when. We look in the writings of St. Paul, and in 2 Corinthians 12, we get this interesting story of Paul. First he says, I know a man, and then he actually confesses that it's him that he's talking about. And he says, 14 years ago, this man was caught up in a vision, caught up to the third heaven, he first references. And then he says, a couple of verses later, he was taken to paradise. And so heaven and paradise, Paul puts these two ideas side by side. And when is that happening? Right now. Paul is talking about this possibility of being caught up in paradise, even as we live and move and move through our ordinary lives. And then if we go to the last book of the Bible, to the book of Revelation, in the very opening chapter, we're told of the vision that John the seer has, and he's caught up again to this gift of heaven, caught up into this mystery of what heaven is like, what paradise is like. And then he gets this vision about what is to happen in the distant future, the eternal future. So we've got four possibilities now. When will paradise happen? Way back when? Is it happening now? Is it happening in the immediate future? Is it happening in the eternal future? And hopefully we can see from Scripture that all four possibilities are presented there before us. The simple answer is, when does it happen? The past, the present, the future, or the eternal future? The answer is always yes. That in God's future, all of these possibilities happen. Okay, so where might we find heaven? Where will we experience this presence of paradise? Again, is it back in the garden, back there in the land, somewhere in the east, or a little bit later in the book of Genesis, where we're told about Jacob, and he's just deceived his older brother, and he's running away as fast as he can. And part of that experience, he's fearful of his life, and he says, I was at a certain place. And there he's caught up into this vision. He struggles with, it seems to be with God himself, and he finally is able to overcome and ask for this blessing from the Lord. So it could be in a certain place, just in the wilderness. John, again in the book of Revelation, tells us that he's writing from the island of Patmos because he's been exiled there because there's a persecution that's broken out. And so in some sense, he's under house arrest. So it could be on a Greek island. In the book of Ezekiel, we have this wonderful vision that Ezekiel has, again, describing the very mystery of heaven as he's caught up there. And he tells us where he is. He's just in an ordinary house by the river there in Babylon, a long way from Jerusalem, a long way from anywhere that's civilized. So all of these different places can be where we encounter God. We can be on an island. We can just be in an ordinary house. We can be in a garden. We can be wherever God might be. So this mystery of paradise, this mystery of what happens to us after we die, is this sense of an invitation, above all, to relationship, above all, to life with God. It's not something that is just so far removed from our ordinary experiences that we can have no sense of what it might look like, what it might be to experience that. Heaven isn't something that's, as one of our songs says, you know, light years away. Heaven is a reality. Paradise is a reality that we can experience here and now. In Celtic spirituality, they often talk about, you know, places that seem to be thin places, places where it feels like the veil that exists between heaven and earth is taken away. The disciples themselves experience this. Again, we might read in Luke 9 the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus is there and he takes three of his disciples up this mountain. We're not told which mountain it was. And there on this mountain, Jesus has changed. He's transfigured in their midst. And then cloud covers. The cloud is always a symbol of the presence of God, a symbol of paradise, a place where heaven and earth come together. And so just on a mountain that the disciples experience that presence of God. Hopefully some of us have encountered something of that. You know, we've been moved in this deep and powerful way to recognize the presence of God, that God feels very near to us. Maybe it's here in church. Maybe it's when we're receiving the Eucharist. Maybe it's during adoration. Maybe it's in praying the rosary before Mass. In whatever way that happens, you know, God is able to be present to us. You know, when we're out bushwalking, when we're out in the midst of the wilderness, when we see just the beautiful sunset, or we see the way that God is able to reveal his love to us, and we feel moved in some way. That's another sign of that breaking in of heaven on earth, that breaking in of paradise. God, in being named the King of the universe, is present everywhere. God is available to us, and God wants to invite us more deeply into that encounter with him. He's longing to know us. He's longing that we might experience that love in that intimacy of life and union with him. We can pray as we come to a conclusion of this liturgical year that we might encounter him, that we might meet him, that we might know him, that we might know that we are known and loved by God, that we are saved by him, that we are loved into life, that all our sins can be forgiven if only we simply offer them back to the Lord, that in that place we experience paradise. In that moment we discover that, yes, that love of God is able to break through and to reach into the depths of who we are. As Paul describes so beautifully in the opening chapter of his letter to the Colossians, you know, that way that God is above all things and beyond all things, that he's able to be visible and invisible, he's able to move beyond all things that we experience. because he's the one that is reaching out to offer us that life and that intimacy of relationship. Today, we can offer that to ourselves. We can open our hearts to God and allow him to also forgive our sins and to make that same promise that he made to the good thief. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Let's indeed allow our God to invite us more deeply into life and to allow him to love us into freedom and into that intimacy of life and relationship with God today.